I greet you all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And a wonderful new year to you all. This evening we'll be looking at drawing close to God through the life of the Spirit. And where we had our reading will be my focus. And in the series of discipleship this year, we'll be looking at discipleship in our teaching series of this year. And I'm sure this topic has already been introduced to you, so you know what a disciple is, who a disciple is, and what discipleship is all about. But just as a form of recap, I want to remind us that the word disciple or discipleship is not unique to Christianity alone. Other religions also have disciples. In fact, in the business setting, there is discipleship. It's just that it takes a different name. They call it mentorship. So you have a mentor and a mentee, someone whom you are learning under. So there's discipleship of different sorts. And from my background, where I come from, discipleship does not just mean following your leader or following your master to a certain degree. No, it means following your master to every level. So you will find a disciple following his master to the bedroom. And he's simply just going to see how his master brushes his teeth, how his master sleeps, and so that we don't take it to another level of thinking. But he's just following his master just to see how the master does things. So tomorrow when you hear, if you hear the person who discipled me in my early days of ministry, I'm sure if he has the opportunity to come to speak to you, once you hear him, you can tell, I learned under this man. Because most likely, the mannerisms will be the same. Our tone, the pitch, and the way we would speak will be the same. So it's not an exact replica of your master in you, but it's a lookalike to a certain degree. So discipleship is everywhere. But how do we know which one is a Christian disciple? Jesus began by teaching his disciples and said to them, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So Jesus began to lay the principles for discipleship, that there must be love. If you love one another, then people will know you are my disciples, because God is love. So there has been series of outlines from Jesus, and even in Romans 14:17, where Paul says, "For the kingdom of God is not about a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." So you see that a life of a disciple will be filled with joy, with righteousness, and peace. But in the vitals of a disciple, looking at it in stages, now we're looking at breathing. So what does it mean to breathe? To breathe means to breathe. Okay, to breathe means to inhale and exhale. Oxygen. The human being needs oxygen. We need air to breathe. And anything that does not breathe is most likely dead. I don't know what scientists will come up with next week. That's why I said most likely. So let's just leave it there, most likely. As far as I'm concerned, anything that does not breathe is dead, does not have life in it. And so if anything that does not breathe is dead, then what will be the breath of a disciple? You can see even from Genesis, when God made man, he said, "Let us create man in our own image and likeness." After man was created, man still could not move. He still could not get up. Why? Because he was still He was the image and likeness of God, but in clay form. There was no life up until God now breathed into man the breath of life. So without breathing, we know that there is no life. So for a disciple, the breath of a disciple is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God. And so before I go into talking about what we've prepared for today, I must highlight that for you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you must be born again. You must be born again. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you are not born again. Nicodemus and Jesus had this wonderful conversation. And when Nicodemus was confused, Jesus said to him, "Spirit gives birth to spirit, and flesh gives birth to flesh. So you must be born of water and you must be baptized. You must be born again in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ." So today, from where we had our gospel reading, John's gospel, chapter 15. We see Jesus talking to his disciples and telling them that you must abide in me. And so the very first thing he begins by highlighting before talking about abiding is, "I am the true vine." Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine. I am the true vine." In this day and age where we have false teachers, false teaching everywhere, many people will tell you that Jesus is not the only way. Well, if Jesus is not the only way, then he cannot be a way. Jesus is the way. He's not a way. And I've used this illustration before. I'd like to use again. In my house, there are many ways to go into my house. And I'd like to list them out for you. There are many ways to go into my house. You can come into my house through the window. It's also a way into my house. You can come in through the back door. You can come in through the roof. You can come in through the main door. Now, whoever comes into my house through the window, who would that person be? He'll be a burglar. He'll be a thief. Because nobody, no legitimate person comes into his house through the window. Even if you forgot your key in the house and you were going in through the window, your neighbors will alert the police and say, "There is a burglar." Even if it is your house. Because if it truly is your house, you should not be going in through the window. Jesus says, "I am the true vine. There are many vines, but only one is the true vine, and that one is Jesus Christ." He highlights it to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," Jesus said. So it is clear, Jesus is the true vine. Now, vines have attachments. And they have their stump, and they have their roots. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who remains in me and I in him, that person will bear much fruit." So you must remain in Jesus Christ. You must remain in Jesus Christ. And why must you abide in him? Because apart from him, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. It would be an interesting watch to see if a branch from a tree should come down from the tree and decide to walk by itself and go and replant itself somewhere else. That would be an interesting watch. That only happens in Looney Tunes or Cartoon Network or something like that. Or it happens in Disney World, but it doesn't happen in real world. And you could look at it in this illustration to say, like your body now. Your hand cannot suddenly decide, "I am tired of being in Singapore. I will go board a flight and get to Nigeria." My hand cannot do that. Not just because I do not want my hand to do that, but because it cannot do that. If it should be cut off, it will die. And so the life of a disciple must be attached to Jesus Christ. And being attached to Jesus Christ is having a life of the Spirit. Because Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh. No one can survive outside of God. Jesus Christ said, "Abide in me and I in you." That is the only way you will bear much fruit. That is the only way you will bear much fruit. There was a write-up that was given to me, and I'd like to share with you. When God wanted to create the fish, he spoke to the sea. When God wanted to create the trees, he spoke to the earth. But when God wanted to create man, he spoke to himself. He said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness." If you take the fish out of the water, it will die. If you take a tree and uproot it from the ground, it will die. Similarly, when man is disconnected from God, he dies. God is our natural environment. We were created to live in his presence. We must be connected to him because only in him is there life. Stay connected to God and remember that God without man is still God. But man without God is dead. He's nothing. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you want to bear much fruit, you must abide in me." There is bearing fruit, there is bearing much fruit, and there is bearing no fruit at all. The branch that is cut off from the main tree does not have life and cannot even talk about bearing fruit. The branch that is still thinking whether or not he wants to remain in the vine will be there, but will not bear fruit. But the branch that is attached, is connected to the vine, will bear much fruit. So how can we bear much fruit? How can we live a life full of the Spirit? I'll give you 3 tips. Number 1 is for you to soak yourself in the Word of God. Be rooted in the Word of God. You cannot know God if you do not study his word. It is impossible. You cannot know God from going to theological seminaries. And at least in my lifetime, I have been to 4 seminaries. And sometimes, some of our very godly professors would tell you, the first day you come to seminary, they say, "If you came to seminary to find God, you left him outside." Because seminary is where we argue, sometimes even about God himself. You can only find God through his word. Soak yourself in the word of God. Having said that, theological education is not bad. Just in case you were thinking about it, it's not bad. But soak yourself in the Word of God. Secondly, learn to listen to the voice of God through Scripture. God speaks. God speaks. In fact, one of our classes in my very first year in seminary, we had this teaching concerning the 400 years of silence in between the intertestamental period where they say God was silent. And I argued with my professor. I said, "God is never silent. Maybe there was somebody who was not listening, but God is always speaking." God is always speaking. God is never silent. Even in the period where it was said that God was silent during when the Israelites were misbehaving, God still spoke to Samuel. Even when Eli was always sitting in his traditional place in the altar and sacrifices were being made, and the Bible records that God was seemingly silent, God still spoke to Samuel. God is always speaking. The problem is your ear. Are you listening? Are you listening? So learn to listen to God's voice through the scripture. Through the scripture, not through your beliefs, not through what you think. Because if you think about, oh, this is what God's voice is supposed to sound like, you will miss it. You will miss it. Elijah, once upon a time, was waiting to hear God. And when the winds blew, he said, certainly, God is the God of the wind. But God didn't speak in the winds. There was a storm. He said, yes, I remember how God operated once upon a time with the Israelites in Egypt. He must be in this storm. God didn't speak there. When finally God was going to speak to him, it was in a still, calm voice. He never expected it to be that way. But if he had not learned how to listen to God, he would have assumed it was not God, because God's voice must always be in a thunderous, you know, a deep bass voice. I am the Lord. But God had to teach him another way. Learn to listen to God's voice through scripture. And thirdly, you must obey God's voice. You must obey God's word. You must obey God's word. That is the only way you can live a life full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who does not abide in Christ, even when the Holy Spirit has been sent for you, he will find no room. Because you are not abiding in Christ. So first of all, you must soak yourself in the Word of God. Let the Word of God dwell richly in you, Paul says. Let the Word of God dwell richly in you. Allow the Word of God to dwell richly in you. Learn to listen to God's voice through the scripture. And lastly, live in accordance with the scripture. Obey God's voice. After you've heard him, you must obey. You must obey. Bow down your heads and let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'll help us to continually abide in you and remain in you. That you being in us and we in you, we will continue to have life, life in the Spirit, to continually follow you and walk after your footsteps. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.